Absolutely. Rob Martyr. There you go. He's here. As I like to say, he's got you, Chicago. Rob Martyr is everywhere he needs to be and make sure that we're up to speed on what's happening in Chicago tonight. Well, if you're a Chicago homeowner or resident, you know the massive tax hikes that just crossed your pile of bills. Eek. The record-setting hike justified by the mayor and city council to close the budget gap, to raise revenue, to keep our city out of debt. It just had to happen. But Tom Tresser from the Civic Lab has an issue with that. He says Chicago's not broke. He believes Chicago has not done what it takes to tighten the belt, root out corruption, and more importantly, make available slush funds and TIFs that are essentially hidden piggy banks for politicians and lawmakers. His new book is called Chicago is Not Broke, Funding the City We Deserve. Tom Tresser is my guest tonight at the big table. Tom, good to see you.
Hey, thanks, Justin.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks. Congrats on the book. You're the organizer and editor of it.
Yeah, I'm in the fishbowl. People are looking at me right now.
The pressure's on, right?
Yeah, bet.
All right, so why the book Chicago is Not Broke?
Well, look, I've been knocking around the city for 40 years. I call myself a civic educator and a public defender in the sense that the very nature of the word public needs defending in this city. And usually for organizers across the city who are trying to do good, whether it's replacing crappy swing sets in their parks or bigger issues around closing mental health clinics, it tends to come down to one thing, and that is, I'm sorry, we have no money for you.
Right. And it's a nonstop. That's the nonstop narrative.
Right, right. And there's always money for the mayor's friends. You know, like we just putting another Ferris wheel on Navy Pier. That's what's going to make Chicago a world-class city for sure. But when people are talking about violence in the streets, about lack of employment, about cutbacks in mass transit, oh, the list goes on. These are the things that people want in their communities, a world-class public school system, for example. Mm-hmm. And every time those things come to the head, I'm sorry, your school is being closed, your mental health center is being closed, your CTS service is cut back, and on and on. So there's a disconnect. And after a couple of years of running around the city talking about TIFs, which I suppose we'll have to get to, people keep asking me in all these community meetings that I've been to, how can we be broke? So this is the question that I'm asked when you start showing the inconsistencies and the contradictions in the way the city does its business. And so we set out to answer the question.
Well, I mean, it's not that you're necessarily accusing the mayor of wrongdoing or city council of hiding money and you know saying one thing to the public but because this is all you know they'll trot out their lawyers and budget directors and they'll say here's our numbers we're broke but you're talking about really coming up with the imagination and an understanding of creative budgeting and understanding that we need to make some changes
in a little bit of both but let me say Justin first that for our listeners we have to understand one thing a budget is a moral document, okay? A budget is like the blueprint, the map going forward for your city, especially for a city. And so when you look at a budget, it's just not numbers on a paper. It's a compass. It's where we're going. And more than that, it's a scoreboard of who's in and who's out. And in Chicago, we know who's out, and it's most of us. So am I accusing the mayor of wrongdoing and the city council of incompetence? Well, yeah, kind of. And I have here, now your listeners, of course, can't see this, but I'm going to make a sound effect here. I don't know if that played.
I think that played.
Played. That is a file 6 inches thick called Cost of Corruption. And Justin, every article in this is a story of lying. And the latest one, you know, is here. It says, CPS Twilight Zone budget obscures millions in cuts, critics say. This is like one day old. So Barbara Bird Bennett going to the pokey for stealing millions, on and on and on. I won't bore and depress your listeners.
This is every – no, but my listeners and the listeners of WGN will be the first to text in and call whenever we talk about tax increases or tax hikes.
Right.
They are the first. I mean, they really are passionate about the idea that we have not done enough to root out corruption, to tighten the belt, and to get rid of the things that have essentially crafted the Chicago way.
Yes. Yeah, so that's the first section of the book that we have put together. It's not me, really. It's really some great experts, many of whom probably have been on your air already and are known to your listeners. So the book is in three sections. The first is called money that's stolen from us. This is money we shouldn't have had to spend nor continue
this
to spend.
This is like you said, like money that's being taken from, like we in the case of Barbara Bird Bennett, or even to the point of lawsuit payouts and,
yes,
and the things that we've seen in the last couple months that we, it seems like every week, some
every week,
hundreds of thousands of dollars that are paid out to
millions,
someone for errors.
Yes, and so there's three pieces there. We have the cost of corruption in Chicago by Professor Dick Simpson, who used to be an alderman, and his investigative reporter colleague Thomas J. Gradel. These guys have been on the beat for about 30 years. And unfortunately, they've written a book called Corrupt Illinois,
yeah,
Patronage, Cronyism, and Criminality. Very light reading for your summer vacation, right?
Beach reading.
Yeah, and it's all about what you just said, the Chicago way, the Illinois way. So the question is, can you quantify all that? I know it's hard to do, but I asked him, and here's the number. Here's the first headline, I guess, from the show here. The cost of corruption to Illinois, drum roll, $500 million a year. Right here in Chicago.
$500 million a year.
So
when you hear, and I mean, this is the stuff I want to have Mike Fouché on, and every Wednesday we talk about there's a $400 million gap in the budget, or there's,
yes,
a $1.1 billion they have to do. It's all because of pensions. It's not,
no,
all because of pensions. There are,
no,
other, there are things, and when you talk about corruption, that's a huge,
yeah, and
huge,
this is,
number.
This is year in, year out. I mean, they document it extensively, but they just skim the surface in the book, and you know, they can go deeper, you know, if you want to look into it. But basically, that's the first thing that we say. And so stop that. Let's stop it. And you would recognize a savings of $500 million. And what does that actually mean? Well, when I ran for Cook County Board President, an insider at Cook County told me, someone who was with the Human Resources Department for many years, he said, Tom, you could fire 10% of the Cook County workforce and not miss them. So that's one example of what I'm speaking about. The second part in the book is by Jackson Potter. So he's in
made
union
news today.
So
he did. He was the man who was yelling at Governor Rauner today at the press conference.
And so he should be yelled at for what he wrote about Chicago's school teachers. So Jackson has been on the tip for toxic bank deals, and we can probably go into that if you want. But that's a huge number. And then the third piece in this first section, regrettably, is the cost of police abuse. So, unfortunately, this is in the news ever so much, not just in Chicago, but all across the country. But we've spent $500 to $600 million, depending on who you look at, in settlements just in the last 10 years. And that's not to count the lost lives and the trauma.
I mean, you add that up and you add the toxic banking deals in,
mm-hmm,
and you're essentially seeing almost to the T the amount of money that each year that the municipalities come to us and say,
that's right,
this is what we're short.
And we're just getting warmed up, man. We're just getting started here.
Tom Dresser is my guest tonight from the Civic Lab. He's the organizer and editor of Chicago Is Not Broke, Funding the City We Deserve. We're talking about we've had all the conversations about tax increases and what needs to happen with pensions, but we really haven't had that conversation about really digging deep to find out what are some of the hidden costs that are keeping us back. We'll take a quick break here on WG, and we'll come back with Tom. Stay with us. It's Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. With me in studio, Tom Dresser from the Civic Lab. His new book, Chicago's Not Broke, Funding the City We Deserve. You mentioned right before the break the three things that are sort of being stolen from us. And one of the things you mentioned was the toxic swaps, the toxic bank deals. You see this a lot, and it's so hard. And I wonder if it's because it's finance and banking that regular citizens, myself included, just can't wrap our head around when we see that CTU is having a protest down in front of Bank America, or the banks are in, you know, that someone writes something about how the banks are, you know, messing up Chicago. What does it mean?
Well, yeah, Chicago, you know, is being run by bankers. You know, our mayor is an investment banker. He surrounded himself with people from that world. And they're really smart, apparently, when they work for themselves. But when they come to work for us, we get stuck in the crappiest deals. We go to the payday loan store.
They make a ton of money when they're individuals.
Yeah,
and they get elected
they,
office.
They
like,
show up at City Hall. It's like, I don't know. What the heck? I forgot
how to do this job.
Yeah, like,
right.
I signed the paper. I don't know. So So it's like what we do, to put it in the plainest terms, is we go to the payday loan store, okay? So you want to do something for yourself, your house, you want to add a garage, you want to do something, you pay cash money, or you go to the bank and you make a loan and, you know, you pay it off.
Right.
And if you go to the payday loan store,
you're in trouble.
You know, you're in trouble. That's what we do. Now, with these toxic swaps, it's like David Vitale, who was running the school board at the time, and he's one of these financial geniuses in private life. But when he got to the Board of Ed, he must have dumbed down or something. So he got us involved in essentially this gambling deal where if interest rates went one way, you know, we would come out ahead and not have to pay the banks as much. But guess what? The economy cratered, you know? Oh, my goodness. And so those deals went south. And the terms were such that the banks got paid first.
Yeah, right.
And so the bottom line is the city of Chicago have paid just through June of 2015, just the fees on this, $582 million.
What do you mean? Just for 2015? Are you just talking about 1 year or overall?
Through June of 15, right? The termination penalties that are being demanded by the banks is another $349 million. The total penalty and losses just from the city, $931 million. The CPS has a separate line. The state of Illinois, a third line. You put it all together, it's $2.3 billion.
Jeez, man.
Of course, those three units of government. So these are the deals. Now,
you're right.
All right, so you made a bad deal. You put your name to the paper. You put the city's name to a paper. Things didn't go the way you can. Can we now renegotiate? Can we use the force of the power of the city of Chicago to say to these banks, you've had enough. You've made enough. We're done. We're walking away. And other cities have done that. They've said to the banks, look, you want to do business with them in the future. You know, they've used their weight, if you will, not this administration.
Is it because it's rooted in banking? Because both of the governor of Illinois and the mayor of Chicago have roots in the finance business?
I that's a good theory. I'll go with that theory. Yeah. So I think what the mayor has said to Jackson Potter and his allies, he said, there's such a thing as a contract. This is a quote from the mayor. Except if you're a public employee and then your pension contract is for, well, I can't say the word because we're on a family station here.
Right.
You know, your contract is no good. So we'll walk away from that contract.
But we won't walk away from a bank contract.
No, because those are
just about fees.
Those are my friends. Those are my peeps.
Tom Dresser's in studio with me. You're talking about his book, Chicago Is Not Broke, Funding the City We Deserve. It really is a book that, you know, there's just been there's an undercurrent in this city, and you hear it from a lot of people who really do question whether or not the lawmakers and leaders of the city and the state have the best interest of the taxpayers in mind. And we see this with the pension, what happened with pensions, and we know the mainstream kind of story about pensions is that the fund was raided. That the can was kicked down the road by both Mayor Daley and the governors in Springfield, and they just kept, and Mike Madigan, and they just kept saying, we need that money now, so we'll just kick it down the road.
Yeah.
We know that storyline.
Yeah.
Tom, why don't we know this storyline,
whether it's
the toxics or the corruption? Why is that not at the same level as the kick the can down the road?
You know, not to sound like I'm kissing up here, but we need more intelligent journalists like you to ask the questions and to give someone like me who has no office and no budget and very few allies, you know, in power, the chance to come and explain. I mean, I'm an educator, but you need a platform. You need someplace. And I have to say, you know, the Tribune parent company, you know, is a conservative pro-business operation, Crane Chicago, the same way. We have less reporters on the city beat than we used to when I started this work some 20, 30 years ago. You can say we have a short attention span media where everybody is like Facebooking, you know, pictures of cats and whatnot. So the public is dumbing down and they have partly themselves to blame. But also it's getting access to the microphone, too, which is a problem. Why are our leaders taking us down the wrong path? Well, I don't know. You can say it's the money issue that, you know, that is a problem in politics, who gets to be a leader in the city. So I say to people who are out there, you know, if you're angry, you have to get organized. You know, you have to register to vote. You have to do those civic things. You know, we got to get civic. There's really no other way around it. If you're not happy, You gotta organize.
You've now sort of laid out the first three parts, which we see to be corruption, toxic swaps from the bank, and then the third one was
police violence.
Police violence, which has been that. Now there's a good example. Police violence and police settlements have bubbled up into the newspapers, into the mainstream media, where that becomes every time there's a settlement, there's a news story around it.
Well, you know, look, we had John Birch torturing black men in his prison, in his cop house for like decades. And that just, you know, by the time that story got out and vetted and, you know, into the sort of the public's consciousness, the statute of limits was on him. So the feds had to grab him on a different beef. But here's Joe Ferguson's the Inspector General,
right.
He has a report from June, just last month, called Advisory Concerning Claims Analysis and Risk Management. It sounds pretty dry, but he's talking about what you just said. Why can't we stop the police abuse? Why can't we, you know, either train our officers properly or hire them differently or change the very nature of policing? What a concept. There's such a thing as restorative justice that a lot of people are looking at. So you're actually questioning the nature of policing. But no, we can't do any of that. So the next time some poor person is pulled over and shot in cold blood, and will Anita Alvarez or her successors cover that up? So we have to get away from all that.
I like I said, I mean that's a mainstream story now. The other stuff that you have, and the other two parts of the book that are sort of the chapter heads here, is money that's hidden from us,
yeah.
And that's where you come into TIFFs, and we're going to talk about that right after the news. And then the third part, which is really interesting, is money we're not collecting.
Mm.
And that's something that we talk about when we talk about privatization, but also the concept of that money's on the table that we're just not going to get. And
and
once you put all of that together, you paint a more robust picture of what our finances are really like. And then you have to use your imaginations and how to creatively budget for a city like Chicago.
Yeah, and by the way, folks can get their own copy for a measly $12 at www.wearenotbroke.org. Had to slip that
12
in.
$12.
Yeah, what a bargain.
See, it should be $35.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
Just me. You know, I know.
Well, people have to imagine differently. You know, imagination precedes implementation. So we need people's brains to expand before we get into the weeds of like, what should we actually do differently? But before we get into solving the problems, let's expand our minds.
Tom Tresser is the organizer and editor of Chicago Is Not Broke, Funding the City We Deserve. We'll take a quick break. We'll get to the news with Rob Martier. We will come back and we'll continue our conversation. And the second half is going to be about TIFFs. This is life. This is your life's work, Tom.
We're going to talk sadly.
About sadly. Stay with us. This is a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. We're talking with Tom Tresser. He's the organizer and editor of the new book, Chicago Is Not Broke, Funding the City We Deserve. This is the work he's been constant with this work for years to Civic Lab. And also you have a huge folder worth of which we use for sound effects. We put that picture of the folder, if you'd like to see it, on our Instagram on WGN Radio. You can take a look at
that. Yeah, my wife accuses me of being a fire hazard. I'm paper-based, man, so I keep all these articles.
That's a lot of articles about corruption here in Chicago. Let's transition to the big, big portion of this book is about the money that's hidden
yes.
from us. And this is really where we come to TIFFs. And TIFFs is tax increment financing, and it's one of these topics in the city of Chicago that has been talked at length about that people seem to just shut down. They don't understand it, and they don't get what the issue is. Now, explain what a TIFF is supposed
right.
to do.
So, yes, tax increment financing. We call it the mayor's slush fund. We call it money that's hidden in the sense that we know it's being collected. We just don't know where it is. So that's why it's like a shell game. So what is a TIFF? Well, it's a thing created by the city. It's a zone. You can see a shape on a map, so it's a specific kind of a place. And it's done to create economic development,
in
jobs,
that place.
In blighted areas. Now, we should hold on for a second and ask the question, who blighted who? Because remember, this is Chicago with a history of redlining, blockbusting, predatory lending, right up to this very day. But that's for another show.
That's the next book.
For another show, yeah. So, but nevertheless, that's the statute. So when you have blight, if you can prove that your community is blighted, the city, and it's always it's a city that runs the show, the city can give you some free money to build your thing.
So essentially the idea being that the taxes that are collected from that zone,
yes.
Which how many zones are there?
Well, there's 147 now.
147 zones. Yeah. Okay, so the idea is that you collect those taxes, some portion of those taxes.
Well, what it is, it's the increment. So what happens is when the district is created, they count up all the properties. Say there's 1,000 properties inside this
good
district,
round
okay?
Number, yeah.
And they say, well, how much property taxes are these properties spinning off? $1,000, say. Okay, that's the base. So that's a word in TIF land that's very important because the base, our property taxes, goes to fuel our units of government. So out there in radio land, when I say, you know, what does your property tax fund, you say, public schools, you say public libraries, you say the city itself, you say the colleges.
It's the lifeline, right?
Yeah, so that's kind of how the deal is. You live in a city and a lot of your property taxes goes to fund these things. And unfortunately in Illinois, which has such a crappy regressive income tax, the burden is on property tax even more so for education, our public schools. So that's why when a dollar of property taxes goes missing, red alert, where did the dollar go? So that's what happens. So every penny of increment over that base inside the TIF district for 23 years is collected by the TIF. So whether it's a new building or the value rises for whatever reason, every penny inside this boundary, and remember there's 147 of them, so it's 30% of the entire landmass of the city is in a TIF somewhere. That money does not find its way into the general budget. That's why we call it off the books.
Okay, so the idea is that it's there so that we can give back to neighborhoods. So if a neighborhood is blighted and they need a new park or they need a new adjustment to the school or they need something that comes to the idea of civic improvement,
yes,
you can go to the TIF.
Well, but there's two important things. It's only for construction. So if you need teachers or librarians, can't do it. No, you can't hire human beings. So you have to build something. Now, that's a good aside because Chicago, with its clout-heavy, you know, pay-to-play, we love to pour concrete in this town. So that's one thing to note. So you can't hire folk. It has to be for building stuff. But it's really supposed to be for businesses. So, yes, you can build a school. You can, you know, build a park. But really, the idea
of businesses.
was because you want to create more employment more and generate more taxes. So if you build a park, it doesn't generate property
tax. Okay, so where does it go wrong? Because on paper, I hear that concept, and it was originated in Harold Washington's office.
Yes.
I mean, the idea being that this is a good thing for blighted neighborhoods to pump back money and not have to go to City Hall necessarily and be like, can I get some money for a new business? And they're like, we don't care. The idea is that there's money aside. Where does it go wrong, Tom?
Well, so, yes, it was this whole thing came to Illinois in 1977, but it came to Chicago in 1986 under Mayor Washington because he had an agenda. He was trying to move development out of the loop. So he was very neighborhood-based, and so he was thinking, well, how can we get to jumpstart businesses or for new construction? So he went to this idea of a TIF, and actually the first application was for Block 37.
Okay.
And, you know, I think we poured about $110 million down that rat hole until we finally got something.
It's a great mall now.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Right. If you like to bowl, go bowl, you know, for $110 million. But so where does it go wrong? I think that under in early Mayor Daley II's administration, somebody saw this, and it was a very modest thing. You know, we're talking about 1990. You know, in those years, it was very modest. But if you look at the graph of the number of TIFs, it's a 45 degree angle from that day to this.
They just start creating new zones.
Yeah, at the height we had 164. Now under Mayor Emanuel, he has cut back. He started a few. And he's cut back some others. So he would say, I don't run the show like that other guy. By the way, he never actually utters Daley. It never comes out of his lips. But he would say, that other guy, you know, we don't run it that way. It's a better way. So what happened was, I think, you started showering this public money on private developers to the tune of $840 million.
You're talking about condo developers. We're talking about
just the loop.
Just the loop.
So these are mostly office buildings in the loop itself. $840 million, including PepsiCo's headquarters in the West Loop, including the Chicago Title and Trust building.
Boeing was in that mix.
Boeing was in there. where the Hard Rock Hotel.
So they were all TIF zones for downtown?
Yes, there was a TIF zone for downtown.
So he was taking money out to build the big building.
Yeah.
To tax
so this is so where we are right now is was considered blighted. LaSalle Street was considered blighted. So now you start to see things are getting a little squeaky here.
They're just hazy in what they're. It's supposed to be for blighted communities to inject neighborhoods with
right.
Some
but look
sort of
look
money.
What's
but
happened. All
instead,
of a sudden,
all the buildings start popping up.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, you're overbuilding because you're giving subsidizing these developers. And by the way, they flipped the building so they can sell the building and take that profit with them, take that TIF money with them, which has happened over and over again. So meanwhile, back to your blighted communities where there is really need for something, and whether it's West Lawndale or wherever a troubled area is, where you see empty storefronts and trash not being picked up and high unemployment rates. If they put a TIF on that community, it has the opposite effect because the TIFs only get charged up, get full of cash if there's rise in values.
Right.
So where's the rise in value going to come from?
I think about when I think about TIFs, I think about the West Loop as a good example of a place that has a lot of business.
Yeah.
And because so the TIF is actually builds
up
and
flush.
You can flush it out.
Oh, it's flush.
But if you talk about a place like Inglewood or like you mentioned West Lawndale, there's not a lot of new business. There's not that penny on top of the dollar.
No.
That,
in fact, it goes the other way. Unfortunately, many neighborhoods of modest means are losing value. So there is no increment. So the West Loop and the South Loop are hot, and their TIFs are flush. And because this money cannot move, it's supposed to stay where it's collected, it's anti-distributional. So for progressives like me who say, you know, if you have a lot of money, you're supposed to spread it around because that's the deal. Can't do it with the TIF money. That's money that's collected in the South Loop has to stay there.
So do you see a time, and one of the big issues with TIFs, or with TIFs as I know it, is that the difficult part about it is it's not really on the books.
No.
And when it's not on the books, you don't know how much money is there. And that has been why it's been considered, quote unquote, a slush fund for the mayors, because no one can track it.
No one can track it, except the TIF Illumination Project has been on the case.
So you've been on this case for a while. How much money are TIFs collected? I mean, do you have a sum number?
I do. And here's another sound effect for your listeners. So what I'm holding in my hands now, listener, imagine a spreadsheet that's 3 pages wide by 6 pages long, put together with Scotch tape. This is high tech we're talking about here. And all we have done, our volunteers from In These Times, thank you guys, we have simply opened up all the TIF reports that just came out last week, and we go to the balance sheet and we look at a few numbers. The first number that you asked for, how much money have they sucked up?
Right.
Okay, that answer is, drum roll, for 2015, $353 million. So that's down a little. That's down a little. Then the question is, how much did they spend? Well, they spent $337 million on various projects. But the big number that we're kind of famous for releasing is how much money was left over in the TIF accounts at the end of last year. So January 1st, 2016.
That's the magic number.
We're so broke, right? Well, guess what? In our bank accounts somewhere around Chicago on January 1st, 2016, $1.4
billion.
Oh. Yeah. So your listeners, that's news. Nobody's heard that number yet. So you just got some news, right?
So so in the bank accounts for TIF districts across the city of Chicago, there's $1.4 billion.
Right.
This is separate from the money that's being asked of citizens and taxpayers that they just got their bills that we're going to have to pay now and pay moving on. $1.1 billion.
Yeah, I mean, that money is sitting there. And so we have been on this case for a few years, and so the question naturally arises is, where's that money? Why can't we have it? So why did you have to close all those schools and send thousands of families into chaos and hell? Why? Well, the answer from the mayor and Alexandra Holt, the budget director, is it's all spoken for. So now we get into our tussling match over the word committed. So what does that word mean? It sounds crazy, but the fate of the city could hang on the disposition of that word. Basically, it's because the mayor says it's committed. That's the answer.
And he's sort of the man and the leader who has the right with that TIF money. That's why it's called a slush fund.
That's right.
Because he's the one who can say, I'm going to use it here, I'm going to use it here, I'm going to use it. There's no real accountability to it.
He violently rejects that characterization, and Alexandra Holt, if she were in this room, would say that I'm full of it. But we FOIA'd her and her department to try to get down to the line items, because she's saying, you know, this is this project and that project. And sometimes in the documents, it just says for future development project, you know, TIF X, $6 million.
So if they were in the room right now, if Mayor Emanuel was on this mic, he would say that that's not a fair assessment, that money is left over. That money is committed to other places.
He would say, I can
Tom,
tell you
not
exactly.
We're not stealing any money. That money is essentially used to for the future of the neighborhood.
He would say, I've got a list for everything. But when I look at the list, there's all sand under there. It's nothing to stand on. So there was a just for example, in the Midwest TIF, there was two items that was about $6 to $7 million. And it said future development, with no details. So we FOIA'd that, and we got the answer back on that line item and 14 others like it. It's under discussion. It's privileged.
You know, Tom, this and we'll take a quick break here, but this really is at the heart of when we hear the argument. We just saw this with the reporting a couple weeks ago about school districts getting annexes and more space for the, and others not. And that what it speaks to more, and it's not, and I would push back and bristle upon the idea that there's wrongdoing. What it speaks to is that it's creating that divide of the haves and the have-nots, because the haves have future development committed, and the have-nots are struggling to find money for their projects.
Yeah.
And that essentially is what is at the core of Chicago is Not Broke.
Yeah. And then so that's why we say TIF is a slush fund. And, you know, what I'm saying for, you know, if this is too much, you know, and you don't want to end the TIF program, freeze it, put a moratorium on it and do an independent audit so that you can report back to the citizens. But if you did want to end the TIF altogether, you'd have a one-time cash infusion of $843 million.
And that would be my final question to you is are we in a position as the city of Chicago to end the TIF, to say, you know what, next year we're not doing TIFs anymore. That was a great thing. It worked for 20 years. It's out. We're going to try something else.
Well, we'd love to have a conversation, because the plus side is you get a one-time bump of $843 million.
Which we've seen could fill a budget.
And then the city agencies going forward would have access to another $422 million each and every year. Now, what you wouldn't be able to do are these one-off projects, you know, these cockamamie things where someone says, well, we'll build this, we'll do that, with very little public input. So let's have the robust conversation on not just this idea.
And I only speak to as devil's advocate in the forum that I would assume that the city would say those cockamamie projects are what keeps this city moving forward.
Well, yes, that's right. And Alexandra Holt said, Tom, well, what would you want us to stop building the playground 111th Street? You know, so it's right, now me, Tom right. Tresser, is going to stop you from getting your playground. I'm so sorry.
So essentially this whole segment is to let you know, Chicago, Tom is it's Tom's fault that this playground
right.
didn't get
yeah,
built.
Yeah, your street don't get paved, you know, send me an email.
All right, well, we didn't really get to the third part of this, which is, the what we're not collecting. Is that as specific to, I mean, is that as easy as we're just not collecting on?
No, it's what three great ideas.
Do it quick, tell me.
First idea is a progressive income tax for the state of Illinois. The League of Women Voters have been on that for at least 20 years.
We've talked about it on the show, yeah.
So Illinois is one of the worst in the country for its regressivity, and that means the poor people pay more. So that's got to stop. Second idea is a financial transaction tax on LaSalle Street. That's actually the biggest number in the book. It could be up to $2 billion for Chicago if we do it right. And look, you go to the store and you buy a loaf of bread, you pay a tax. But these billionaires, gamblers down on LaSalle Street who run a quadrillion, that's a quadrillion. I don't even know how many zeros that is. They run $250 billion through that gambling casino every year. No taxes. So put a tax on it.
You're talking about the stock exchange when you say that?
The Chicago Board of Options.
Okay.
Yeah. So certain contracts that
I'm just trying to get the euphemism.
The Board of Trade.
Shorthand, the Board of Trade.
Board of Trade.
Got it.
And so that's the second idea. Put a financial transaction tax on certain things that we trade down there that we have sort of a monopoly position on. Third idea is probably the most creative one. It's a public bank. A public bank for Chicago that would operate as a utility, as a public good. And the example that I can point your listeners to is the Bank of North Dakota, which is owned by the state, and it's been around for almost 100 years, a prairie state, a conservative Republican state. If they can operate a public bank, why can't we? It gives cheap credit to first-time homeowners, cheap credit to students who are seeking an education. The last time I looked, there was a four-point spread.
Essentially the same concept as a credit union.
It's a credit union, but it's backed by the full faith and force of the city.
Yeah.
And so home loan and businesses. So all that would be cheap credit, because the idea of a bank operating in that way, it's not for usurious profits to Wall Street.
Right.
It's for public good.
It would solve the issue that's in the beginning of the book about the toxic swaps and the interest that we owe on for profit.
So the watchword of the book at the end, the punchline is, if I want to leave you guys with anything, is, if we use everything we have, we'll have everything we need. And that's kind of the philosophy of the book, that we really need to have a robust conversation in the city. www.wearenotbroke.org.
Tom Tresser is my guest tonight. His book is Chicago Is Not Broke, Funding the City We Deserve. Tom, thanks so much for coming in and being my guest at the big table
tonight. Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it.